That's Zella, that's my cow. And so far, the only thing they've produced that's been of any worth is manure. Although she looks pretty, she's a very nice girl. That's her baby Dixie Belle. Dixie Belle is not nice. Dixie Belle will whack you with her horns if you let her. And yeah, they produce manure. Now that manure is full of seeds. Think about what they're eating. They're out there eating, you know, grass and thistles, whatever they'll eat. I bought these cows because they're supposed to be more browsers than grazers. These are spoiled. They like grain and hay that gets fed to them that costs money and all that good stuff. But their manure does need to be put into the compost for a year just to kill those weed seeds. A number of years ago, my girlfriend asked me, she had horses, and I was visiting her at Denman Island, and she asked if I would like to take some horse manure home. Yes. I loaded up as many bags as I could, and I put them in the back of the car, and I was so excited about getting this horse manure. And I put it all over my front perennial bed, and I inoculated that bed with so many different varieties of grass. I never, ever got rid of them, ever, in the next, you know, 20 years that I gardened. And her response when I told her that was, you idiot. Yeah. No sympathy there.
So, excuse me, Linda, so if you had just composted that more, then it would have killed the weed seeds or the grass seeds?
Yeah, it would be the heat. So if I was lucky enough to get manure, I would be layering that. And always, you know, saving bags of leaves. So you can ask with layered, I mean, how do you have bags of dried leaves in the middle of summer? You save them. You save up bags that you could throw into your composter so that you don't get that putrefaction. You throw some sea soil in there, throw some branches in there, anything you can do. I mean, it doesn't matter if you have a wing digger. If it's a great big mushy mess, it's going to be a mushy mess unless you manage that. And kitchen waste does make a mushy mess.
And I would just say about the manure, if you just leave it in the bag for the year too, right? Just kind of,
yeah, absolutely.
Like what I do is I cover mine,
yeah,
for a
absolutely
year,
and yeah,
just cook it, so yeah, it's not, yeah,
for
yeah,
sure,
yeah. And then actually you're dealing with less because it's composted, so it's less work.
Yeah, right? That's a good way to compost, you know, just leave it in the bag. As long as there's enough moisture in there, it's going to decompose in there. Sometimes the worms make their way in there and you'll get a bonus when you open it up, but that's a great idea for smaller spaces. So this is a composter that I had made for me. The instructions to make this are online. The idea is that it's three bins. And so when I started gardening on Main Island, I quit using this composter. But then I had to do a report on composting, and we could pick whatever kind of composting we wanted. So I thought, well, I'll go and have a look at that composter that's been sitting ignored in the backyard for about 5 years. So this is the system, and you can get this online if you want. You can Google Richard Bird, Shooting Star Press, and that picture comes up. And that, I love that composter. I really did. I could have another one just like it, I would. But my neighbor built it for me, so he's back in Hillsboro. That's what mine looked like. The Douglas fir on the other side had actually sent roots under the fence and up into the compost. So the idea with these is that you fill one bin and then you leave it alone. And then you start working on the next bin, and when it's full, you start working on the third bin, by which time in a perfect world, the first bin has decomposed. So I'm gonna layer browns and greens. I have my buckets already there, and I'm going to do the compost the way it's supposed to be done, which I have never in my life done before. So I started out with some rough green material. I wanted to just have some air on the bottom. I don't know, this is my thing. I had some branches or something to start at the bottom of that compost. And then I threw in a layer of brown, and then a layer of green. There we go. Until it was full, and it worked. It was pretty amazing. Then I left it, and it did decompose far faster than anything else I had ever done. I didn't take a picture of it, but it was very effective, very efficient to manage that compost properly. And you notice there's no kitchen waste in there. I could have put a little bit of kitchen waste in, then it would have taken longer to decompose. And I would have waited long for it. I would be more worried about the anaerobic protozoa being in that kitchen waste.
What is that time frame?
I don't like having my composters out in the sunshine. I like them in the shade where it's nice and moist. In about 6 weeks, it had gone down to about half. And yeah, so yes, they're a lot quicker when you do the right thing.
Excuse me, Linda, did you have to stir it up or fork it over?
No, I'm lazy, remember?
Right, okay.
No, I'm not stirring it, I'm not wing-dinging it, I'm not taking the temperature of it, I'm just letting it decompose.
Was it covered?
Yeah, there's a lid on it. Yeah, absolutely. So even, there was never kitchen waste in that, ever, but the rodents still went in because there's heat generated. And when you're layering the green and the brown, it's nitrogen and carbon. So, I don't know, when they decompose, they produce heat. And that helps the decomposition process. I think almost everybody has one of these. The cities were giving away for almost nothing. My most hated composter ever. They don't really work. I do use them, however. So this is a good example. The garden, my original garden on Main Island was on a north-facing slope, and somebody asked me once what I called it, and I said the gravel pit. And it was pure sandstone. There wasn't a speck of soil there. That composter sat for, I'm gonna say 3 years, it might have been two. And I decided that I was going to empty it now. And when I started to empty it, look at the soil underneath. Now that was sandstone. That composter has decomposed into the surrounding soil and turned it into, there are earthworms under there, there's beautiful things growing all around the composter. I lost so many nutrients over those years of throwing that composter outside of my garden bed. So now I take these composters and I put them in my garden. So that all of those nutrients, everything that's coming out of that composter on the bottom can go into the garden soil. I might leave it there for a couple of years and then move it somewhere else. So
you put it there without the base in it?
No, I leave the base in. Some of the bases have disappeared, then I put it without the base, but some of them the rats have chewed big holes in, so amazing creatures, rats. You can get creative. That's my dream. That's one of those containers, those big things that go on the ships. That would be just a dream. I'd like to have mine contained, but it isn't. And I know that not being contained, my big pile, I'm losing lots of nutrients. We do throw a tarp over it in the wintertime so that a lot of the nutrients don't get flushed out. But the farm is 20 acres, and there's a lot of green matter that gets thrown on that compost heap. Old pallets, that they're going to rot away at some point, but if you need a contained area.
Do you put branches in the middle of it?
You know what, if I had a lot of kitchen waste and I wanted to make sure it was staying aerobic, I would. I'll throw small black branches. I do have those black composters in the garden. One I save for things I'm never going to, those icky weeds, if you don't have somewhere to put them, have a composter that you're never going to use. You're just going to throw stuff in it and you're never, ever, ever going to use that compost for anything. And that is convenient to have something like that where you can put things in that you don't know what else to do with. I would, and we're in this one where you can see all those apples sitting there, you've got putrefaction. But if you mix them in, then you're going to be okay. And yeah, I would throw some branches in or something, or leaves, anything to fluff it up and keep it airy. This one I put in, I know they had one of these at the school, absolutely, but the whole thing's gonna dry out and then nothing's happening. So in the sunshine and with really open sides. I don't think that anything would decompose in a big hurry there. That's my pile. This is what you don't want to do. So that's just showing you, so there's a huge amount of kitchen waste that my husband has been saving up for weeks. so that when we go out to where my compost pile was, we could dump that all on. So that's quite a big pile. I dug that all in and made sure that it was gone. These are the green cones that everybody is supposed to have because we can't throw out our kitchen waste. And I think that that whole rule on the islands has caused a significant problem. I think that's why we have, I don't know about you on Pender, but we have more rats on Maine. I don't think these work. When they brought them out, I thought, you know what, they're going to fill up. And I just, there was just a thing on our local Facebook page. This family of four has filled theirs up. And what do they do now? This is basically an outhouse. So you dig a hole in the ground and you throw waste into it.
You can throw them into my pigs now.
Yeah.
Big bucket. I have a big bucket by the road down by the drill.
And it's for people to feed their pigs?
They just put all their compost in there for my pigs.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, I've been trying to talk my husband into pigs for years. We have a brewery on the island, we get all their spent grain. You know, so yeah, talk pigs with me later on. I think that's fabulous. This is one of my pet peeves, is the food, not just the food that we're maybe not growing, but all the food that we're throwing out. We throw out any grocery store, they throw out bread and milk and fruit and, you know, it's a brave grocery person that will put that behind the store for people to pick up. In 1980, we were raising meat rabbits. We'd come back from Europe, and they do eat rabbit in Europe. And I was going to the local grocery store and getting their dried bread. And the third time I went back, he said, I can't give you any more bread. And I said, why is that? He said, I can't be assured that you aren't using it for human consumption. And I said, but I'm not using it for rabbits. And he said, no, absolutely not. I said, so you're going to throw in the garbage? Yes. And that's what happens. In Europe, they do exactly what you're doing. Restaurants. I was in Africa some years ago, and if you want to make a little bit of extra money, you get a pig. I want to talk to you about compost tea, because everybody talks about compost tea. Teaming with Microbes talks about compost tea. Compost tea is, great stuff if it's made properly, but it must be made properly. You have to inoculate it with the proper stuff to start it off. You want to create bacteria in it, and you have to use the proper equipment. An aquarium pump will not make compost tea. Compost tea has a life of about 12 hours. After that, the bacteria are dead, and you've got an anaerobic, not an aerobic, and you're pouring it on your soil, and you can cause great harm to your soil if you use it incorrectly. So I think that making compost tea is for the professionals. It's wonderful stuff when made correctly. I have been party to making it, but with a proper composter. So you took a bag of, it was worm casing and worm poop, and dropped that down in the middle. And this pump roared for 24 hours, and the next day you could feel the heat in that. We bottled it up, and we all took it to our gardens. I was over 12 hours with mine, and it didn't, there was no good in it. There was nothing good left in the compost tea. Any benefits have disappeared. So when they're using it, they're brewing it, and they're using it immediately. Golf courses are using it. The people that are making it are putting it under the microscope and making sure that it's the right bacteria. So you can get, if you want to make compost tea, the organic gardeners, organic gardeners pantry. She's actually located in Victoria. Great website, tons and tons of information on there. She's got everything that you would need to make a proper compost tea. But I do have an alternative for you. I want you to meet one of my good friends. Her name is Emma. And that stands for effective microorganisms. These are faculative. I always put an extra syllable in there. Effective microorganisms. These are beneficial organism that is anaerobic. So there it can exist without air. And the first time I used this, I thought, you know, come on guys, There's no magic potion like this. It's not going to work. It is amazing stuff. Once you've used it, you just can't not use it anymore. It's started in the 60s. It was a Japanese Dr. Higa in Japan, and he worked on it for, I don't know, 20-some years. He saw just by accident that some of the bacteria that he was working with or fermenting was beneficial to the soil. So he kept pitching it outside his shop, the ones that didn't work, and he noticed that some made the plants grow. So he started investigating that. And here we are again. So these are facultative or good bacteria that can live in a with no air. This can be diluted in a greenhouse if you were using it 1 to 10,000 times. So you can put a drop in a bottle. You start with a mother culture, and the mother cultures are, you can get the paperwork on them if you want to know everything that's in there. And you take that mother culture and you put it with molasses.
Excuse me, Linda, can I just mention that the other side of the handout is all about this effective microorganisms potion that you can make and the use of it. The print's pretty small, but you can read it when you get it.
You know, if you go to her website, she'll tell you everything you need to know to get this growing. And again, working groups, I used to do group parties at home. Those of you that make wine, you can make it in a carboy and give it to all your friends. You need to make it in a, here's a soda pop bottle. So you can see this one has cooled off and it's actually imploded instead of exploded. But anyhow, I've got a heat mat here. When the lights are back on, you can have a look at this. You want to keep it quite warm. You do need a heat mat. I tried doing it on the, we had a thermal mat in the bathroom. That wasn't enough heat. One of these little seedling mats. And then I just got it wrapped in a towel to keep it extra warm. So you mix the water, molasses, and some mother culture together, and you let that brew. You have to burp it every once in a while, because there is stuff going on in there, and you need to use a bottle that will withstand pressure. So I get a bottle that's had pop in it. You really, really need to clean that bottle out. Try to get a bottle that had just soda water in it or something without sugar and make sure it's really clean. I do use a little bit of bleach to clean that bottle out. When I did a group party, I had one that didn't work out, and I'm sure the bottle wasn't quite clean enough. You only want the microbes that you're putting in there to be in there, nothing else. So you could use the mother culture all by itself. People take it as a probiotic. So when I was studying organic master gardening, one of the girls said, I'll do it. I'll take a drink of that. And there were 20 of us in the class. She was the only one. And I was giving her a ride, and I was pretty sure she wasn't going to be there the next week for me to give her a ride. But she was. So when you take that and you wake up all those little microbes, you make that go 100 times, 1,000 times farther. So instead of just using the mother culture, you add molasses and get them woken up, and then you can dilute it. I use this stuff everywhere. Nice cat, smelly litter box in the chicken house to keep the smell down. Last year I thought, this stuff is so amazing, I must be able to do something for the cows with it. I mixed it with, what is that oil that you can put on tables to make it shine? Mineral oil. I mixed it with mineral oil to make it stick to their fur, and I sprayed it on my cows, got rid of the flies. It was amazing. Nice dog, really bad breath, really, really bad breath. In the water bowl, we did not put her in there. Sewer smells, so I had trouble with gray water smells, a little bit down the drain every once in a while. I use it in my laundry. I've had people, a lady tell me that she had a laundry closet or a linen closet she couldn't get the smell out of for 20 years, and she sprayed it with effective microorganisms and the smell was gone. I had a sick chicken. I washed the whole cage down before I put the chicken in. I'm sure that's what saved her life. You can put it on your compost pile, so now you're introducing beneficial bacteria. I put it on my soil in the garden, I make a spray of it, and I spray it on my plants. So that was my first exposure to it. I had, I tossed my lettuce seeds, whatever, wherever, or I let things go to seed, and then I dig them up and I transplant them. So I'd done that one March, and it got really windy and really cold, and the lettuce looked horrible. It was all kind of toasty at the edges, and I had this weird potion, this some sort of microorganism thing I was supposed to try. So I thought, well, spray it on one row of lettuce and not on the other. And the difference was pretty amazing. You can't spray it on seedlings or on flowers. And I don't know the chemistry behind that. I just know that it will kill them. So, but once your plants are up and running, you spray this on, it's like steroids for plants. It's amazing what it will do.
So, just a question. When you buy the multiculture at the store,
the organic pantry,
you can buy it, or do you have to rebuy your starter every time?
Well, I buy like a liter of the starter. She'll sell it to you. She makes it up and she'll sell you a bottle of effective microorganisms already done. You don't have to brew your own.
Wait, if I'd like to brew my own.
Yeah, then follow the instructions. So you can buy a 1 liter bottle, a 2 liter bottle, find 5 other people that want to brew with you.
Can you grow the model? Can you grow the mother itself? So you
no. I don't even know how you would start growing that.
Once you bought it, can you keep the mother going?
No.
Or is it like gone?
No, you repurchase it. Well, I do anyhow. I'm not even going to go there because if I mess it up, I'm going to kill everything.
Yeah.
So it's. I don't think it's an easy thing to do. I mean, you get like a pedigree of what, how many different bacteria there are, whatever it is, the things that cause fermentation. You know, if you're making wine, you buy that yeast, and there's all different yeasts that you put in for certain types of wine. That's what this is. But there might be 20 different types. There's a couple of companies that are making it. The gal that started in Victoria, bless her heart, I'm so glad that she's there, she couldn't find the mother culture. And I was looking all over for the mother culture and couldn't find it anywhere. And that's why she started this company. Because once you've used this stuff, you can't stop. Yes?
I bought the Bokashi and Lifestyle marketing.
Absolutely. That's what Bokashi is inoculated with this, and they let it dry, the effect of microorganisms. You can read about this stuff for the rest of your life. Google Dr. Higa. There are paper, I've got 15-page papers that have been written on it, and I start reading them and then I fall asleep. So all I can tell you is that it works, and it works for everything I've tried it on. I've never had any kind of a disaster with it. It's cheap, it's effective. They use it in toothpaste, and it works. It really works. And once you have your bottle going, so they say the mother culture lasts 2 years and the bottle lasts 6 months, but I've used bottles that were up to 18 months old and they're still doing their job, and I know they're doing their job. So somebody just came and got some from me for rat odor, and I said, are you trying to get rid of the smell of rats, or are you trying to spray it on something so that the rats won't smell it? And he said he's trying to get rid of the smell of rats. So I did the first year, we moved into our new place, something died under, there's a little potting shed, something died under there. And holy smokes, there was some nasty smells going on. And my girlfriend was coming to visit to see my place for the first time, and I didn't want her to smell that smell. So I sprayed with effective microorganisms and just sprayed the air in there. And it worked, it got rid of the smell. So, stinky laundry. I put it in too if I'm like, I've got a lot of animal blankets and whatnot, and I want to get rid of like any pathogens that are in them. I'll put this in with that laundry as well.